All right, friends, our first lesson is again Mark's Gospel, Mark's account of the Last Supper. As a reminder, this is kind of where I'm framing all of these lessons, so this passage will show up every Sunday until we get to Passion Sunday, the Sunday before Easter, probably, I think. Mark 14, 12, 22 to 25. Join with me, if you will, in your own Bibles, the pew Bibles, or simply in your hearing, but receive with open hearts the Word of God. While they were eating, Jesus took a loaf of bread, and after blessing it, he broke it and he gave it to them and said, "Take, this is my body." Then he took a cup, and after giving thanks, he gave it to them, and all of them drank from it. He said to them, "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many. Truly I tell you, I will never drink again of the fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God." The word of the Lord, my friends. Amening right there reminded me that actually you'll notice that in the service we have an additional little piece in there today. The choir is going to be singing a response following the benediction, just so you know that when the time comes the choir is going to sing some more, so if you want to hang around for that. All right, our second lesson. We're going with the God of Abraham and Sarah. Join me in Genesis 17, verses 1 through 7, and then 15 through 22. Again, find the Word of God. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, "I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless. And I will make my covenant between me and you and will make you exceedingly numerous." Then Abram fell on his face, and God said to him, "As for me, this is my covenant with you. you shall be the ancestor of a multitude of nations. No longer shall your name be Abram, but your name shall be Abraham. For I have made you the ancestor of a multitude of nations, and I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings shall come from you. I will establish my covenant between me and you and your offspring after you throughout their generations for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and to your offspring after you. And God said to Abraham, as for Sarai, your wife, you shall not call her Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. I will bless her, and moreover, I will give you a son by her. I will bless her, and she shall give rise to nations. Kings of people shall come from her. Then Abraham fell on his face and laughed, and said to himself, can a child be born to a man who is 100 years old? Can Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child? And Abraham said to God, oh, that Ishmael might live in your sight. God said, no, but your wife Sarah shall bear you a son, and you shall name him Isaac. I will establish my covenant with him as an everlasting covenant for his offspring after him. As for Ishmael, I have heard you. I will bless him and make him fruitful and exceedingly numerous. He shall be the father of 12 princes, and I will make him a great nation. But my covenant I will establish with Isaac, whom Sarah shall bear to you at this season next year. And when he had finished talking with him, God went up from Abraham. It's just been a few days since we began this journey to the cross, but it already feels like it's been a month. But I don't say that out of frustration or regret. We are living covenantal life. We are living covenantal life that we have been given by the grace of God. We have ups and downs. We have joys and concerns. We have struggles and celebrations together. As we dare to share in life as a family of faith, it is no easy thing. As Abraham and Sarah found out the hard way. When they were in their 20s, Jerome and Juanita were living in deep Texas, doing their thing and planning their great careers. One day, out of the blue, Uncle Mo shows up, found them at home, and told them that he had the opportunity of a lifetime for them, the job of their dreams. The only thing was that they'd have to leave Texas and travel to Montana. Shout out to our Montana people. Juanita and Jerome would have to leave their larger family and their life and go to this faraway place in an unknown part of the world for them. But the job would be tremendous, unbelievable. Also, the other catch was they couldn't take another job but have to wait until Mo brought the job to them. That temptation to embark on this dream career was too great. You know what Jerome and Juanita did. Even though they didn't know anything about life in Montana, they would be doing what they truly wanted to do for the rest of their lives. So they packed up and went. 25 years later, they were still waiting for that job. Anyone want to swap places with Jerome and Juanita? Anyone think Uncle Mo pulled a fast one on them? Who could wait for that? Well, that is not even as bad as the situation of Sarah and Abraham. 25 years before today's passage, God promised Abraham that when he was still Abram, that he would have a child and a great people would come from them, from him. Then for 25 years, nothing happened, to the point that the very idea is laughable. It is hard not to appreciate the pathos, the emotion in this story. None of us would want to be in their shoes. Of course, I don't know how many of us would want to be having kids when we're 100 anyway. But besides that, waiting for that kind of a promise, it would have been torturous to wait and wait and wait for the evidence of that promise. But in the meantime, they had to learn who this God was that called them to leave the homeland and whether they could trust this God. Can we trust God? To be honest, everything else aside, this is really what the whole life of faith is about, isn't it? Finding trust in God. Seriously, this is really our one occupation toward God, experiencing day in and day out whether we are willing to continue trusting in God. That's what faith means. If you have faith in something, you trust it. If you have trust in something, you have faith in it. In a world where there are no human guarantees, we look for something or someone who can absolutely be our trust, no matter what else happens. You know, I actually began to create a list of crazy things that might actually could possibly happen to illustrate some of the severity of life in twists and turns in this day and age. But honestly, the list became too scary, and I had to quit. I'm not sharing this list with you. The first thing was on the list was that I got hit by a satellite. After that, the list got worse. So I'm not sharing the list. Sorry. I'm going to spare you from that. Suffice it to say that we are at the whim of a world that does what it wants, and people who do what they want. We have known disasters and pandemics and wars and crises. But what we have also known is a God who will walk with us through it all. We will not get through life unscathed. And I know that many of us out there are bearing the scars to prove it. There are no promises of idyllic ease. What we have, though, is a promise from God that our God will be our life and that God will provide. God has been our past, is our present, and will be our future. That promise is with us today because God made that promise with Abraham and Sarah a long time ago. The irony is not lost on us. A 99-year-old man whose name means exalted father doesn't have any kids with his wife. But God had promised him one 25 years before. And now when Sarai is 90 years old herself and cannot have children for all the normal reasons, she's also promised to be the mother of this great world-changing people. Nations, kings will come from her, so that her name now becomes Princess. If it didn't look so tragic, it would be comical. But for God, it is true. God wants to know if Abraham and Sarah can still trust. Can they still trust? And that's a real struggle. You heard the struggle. You heard the struggle of their trust in this passage. Abraham still doesn't have that trust that he had that made him pack up and follow God to begin with 25 years before. At this point, Abraham, he's decided to settle for what he already has. He's still thinking about Ishmael, that 13-year-old boy that he had with Sarai's slave daughter or slave girl, Hagar. You know, look, he's saying, I got a son. I do have a son. You know, it's so hard. It's so incredibly hard to hold that trust, friends. It's so hard to hold that faith in God sometimes. He's like, let's go with what we already have, God. What we already know. What we already see and feel. Let's go with that. But that's too small for God. The question, though, is the promise too small for us? Don't forget, God's promise was not just for them. God's promise is also for us. God underlines that one for us. He underlines it. This is an everlasting covenant with all the people who follow. Jesus renews it, but it is never lost. Jesus shows us how seriously God takes that promise when he renews it, but it is never set aside. We are still living in that promise with faith or trust if we will see it. This is what the world struggles to understand. This is it. This is it. We usually do not see God's goodness laid out as a package with a bow. We have an invisible God who works often in unseen ways. The power, the mystery of God keep us guessing as to the specifics of God's promise. If it were obvious, though, then there would be no need for faith or trust. People all around the world are looking for expressions of goodness and faithfulness right now. Some are turning to God for that help. Some are. Others are looking for worldly powers for that help. I know where the Ukrainians are looking right now. I'm not so sure where the Jews and Palestinian civilians are looking right now. I have a sense where so many desperate and scared Central and South Americans are looking right now. Unrest and trouble are tremendous in the world today. We have been shaken also. But God is for us all. All who are God's children can still look for God's help. You know, I tend to forget just how impossible my life is. It's far too easy to take things for granted, isn't it? Like Abraham, you know, I'm looking at Ishmael thinking, oh, I got this. I can look after things myself. And what I've accomplished, you know, I've kind of just done it on my own. But that's a lie. Every goodness that I have found, especially the really profound ones, and yes, I'm looking at you, every one of them are God's doing. And there's no way that I could have orchestrated this life, my life, like this. And I'm guessing maybe you might have similar thoughts. Sure, there have been disappointments and losses and griefs, but I could not be here today knowing the love we all share without God's help. This is what community in God looks like. So many people out there don't have this kind of community, this kind of love. They struggle to see goodness in their life and tremble to just try to trust anything beyond their own hands. They can't see God's promise. Abraham and Sarah were there also. They were there also. They understand. God understands. So if you're in that situation, if you find yourself in that situation, please allow yourself to be loved by a community. Find good people to remind you that you are also part of God's promise. It should absolutely be a part of our daily prayer to include those who are missing from our community and those who are wandering through life alone. Some may feel they are impossible to love or that they're in an impossible situation to know community. It might feel that way. But Sarah and Abe found themselves in an impossible situation too. And they found love. God's love is not limited to our reason. It is not limited to our expectations. It is not limited to our permission. God's love is life-changing and world-changing. And it may take time to know for ourselves how loved we are. It might take time for us to find our faith in God's promise. But if there's one thing that every one of us should want to know, it is that God is worth our trust. Together, friends, we seek to live that trust and love. And to God be the glory. Amen. Join me now as we respond to